Hey there, Roamers. Welcome to the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel, where we get to hear from full-time RVers, unpack their experiences, and learn actionable advice to help you roam in your home too. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Thank you so much for being here. Buckle up, my friend. Let's get ready to go on an adventure together right now. Well, hey friends, welcome back to the show. Today is March 27th, 2024, and you are listening to episode number 7. I am so glad that you're here. I look forward to bringing you these fun conversations each week, and I hope you're enjoying them too. I'd love it so much if you would follow us on your favorite podcast platform, or subscribe if you're listening to this on our YouTube channel, and leave us a review. It helps us grow in the algorithms so more people can find out about us. And if you're new here, welcome. I'm Jamie from Roam in Your Home, and my husband Randy and I have been full-time RVers since 2017. And the goal of this podcast is to give people a glimpse of RV life and hear from real full-time RVers that are living the dream. We pull back the curtain and ask all the questions and get all the answers of what we wish we knew before we started full-time RVing. My goal is to share these real-life conversations with you each week so you can get the information that you need to be able to roam in your home too. Today, I'm so excited to share my conversation with Jeff and Sarah from Wake Up and Wander. One of the biggest questions that everyone wants to ask full-time RVers is, how do you make money on the road? Well, Jeff and Sarah share some awesome information about how they discovered work camping and all the amazing opportunities that it has given them. You won't believe their latest adventure that Randy and I are super jealous about. I won't make you wait any longer. Please help me give a warm welcome to Jeff and Sarah.
Hi, Jeff and Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Yeah, I am super excited to have you guys here. I have loved following your adventures on Instagram. We have been to some of the same places, so I'm so excited to talk about it. And I can't wait to get to know you guys better and for our listeners to learn more about you and your experiences. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. We're excited.
Yes, we definitely love sharing our story.
Oh, good. So we are actually, Randy and I are in Ohio right now. Are you guys from Ohio?
We are. We're originally from just north of Cincinnati, the Mason area.
Okay, so we are from northeast Ohio around Cleveland, about an hour from Cleveland, called Youngstown. So we're like kind of an hour from Pittsburgh, an hour from Cleveland. And so that's where we're here right now. But yeah, I saw like in your travels and stuff that I thought Ohio came up and I'm like, I think they're from Ohio. I couldn't remember. But that's so cool. So that's where we are. And where are you guys at right now?
Right now, we're in Ouray, Colorado.
That's like one of my favorite places. Oh my gosh. Yes. We'll talk about that as we go. But oh, I love that. I thought that's where you were, but I wasn't exactly sure if you were in Colorado. So that's cool. Well, good. Well, I want to just jump right in. I have a ton of questions to ask you. So let's just start. I always like to find out, how long have you guys been on the road?
Well, we left Ohio on January 31st of 2020. So we just passed our 4-year mark at the end of January.
And so it was prior to COVID.
Yes, it was like about 6 weeks before COVID.
Oh my goodness. And so did that really put a damper on your travels, or didn't it really change anything for you?
No, it didn't change a whole lot. I mean, there were obviously a couple of slight struggles that we encountered along the way, but we didn't change anything. Well, we changed kind of where we were going and what we were doing a little bit, but it didn't change too much at all for us.
I mean, we did have an itinerary. We had originally planned on doing a big loop through the bottom of the country, through Texas to New Mexico, Arizona. We made it to Arizona to Phoenix just when COVID started making the news, and it really changed where we were going to go from there, because our plans had been to go from Arizona to California, up the coast, up to Washington, across the top of the country, possibly go to Banff up in Canada. But as you can imagine, all of those plans got changed. So we basically did a quick kind of U-turn and wound up in Colorado for the summer, which actually wound up working out really well for us.
Oh, that worked out really well. We spent 10 weeks in Colorado in 2022 and cannot wait to go back. So, oh, I'm glad it worked out for you. So during COVID, everybody heard on the news, like, it's so hard to get reservations and everybody's RVing now. Did you guys run into having difficulty finding places to stay?
We really didn't, because before we took off on the road, we had planned on boondocking for most of our time. So the best place for anyone to be was really out in the middle of the national forests. And we didn't have any neighbors to worry about. We didn't have to worry about getting anybody sick or getting sick from anybody. So we basically went out in the middle of the national forest. We were stocked up well on food, and we could stay, well, 14 days at a time before we had to move. And the only thing we really had to worry about was getting to a place to dump our tanks and fill up with water. But that's still wasn't that big of a challenge.
Oh man, I'm so glad it worked out for you and that COVID didn't make you guys like second guess this or, you know, want to go back or whatever. I'm so glad that it really kind of sounds like it didn't really affect you too much. So that is awesome. And so who all was in the RV with you as you guys started?
When we started, it was me and Jeff and our youngest daughter, who was 17 at the time. And we also have a Boston Terrier named Georgia, and she is with us. Also, during that COVID time, which this was also unexpected, and one of the reasons why we went up to Colorado was our middle daughter, where she was working in Colorado, it shut down completely. So she had to join up with us, and she lived with us for about 3 months during that summer of 2020.
Oh, wow. So good that you guys could be there for her.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it was not a fun time for most people, but it was fairly easy for us. And, you know, everything really worked out. We were in the right place to help our middle daughter, and everybody work camped that summer. So.
Oh, that is awesome. And what made you guys decide to do this? Like, what was the initial thought process of like, let's just, you know, do this RV life? Like, what ended up happening to make you guys consider this?
Well, it was kind of a many years in the making, and we didn't really kind of even realize it at the time. Back in 2016, in the fall, we took the kids on like a 3-week tent camping trip out west to Colorado, Arizona, and Utah. And it's the first time the kids had ever been, you know, west of Missouri. They absolutely fell in love with it. They couldn't believe our country had so many amazing places out here in the west. I mean, there's amazing places everywhere, but they were just blown away. They're all really close in age. We have 3 girls. The oldest, she was getting ready to leave. She was probably like a junior or senior in high school. She decided she wanted to move to Colorado. So, you know, after 2016, the next couple of years, she started moving out. Our middle daughter decided she was going to move out to Colorado. As we visited them out here, we just didn't want to, you know, we wanted to make some sort of change. So let's see, gosh, probably 2018, Jeff brought this video to me on YouTube of a guy who lived in his van. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize this was a thing. And so that put us down the rabbit hole of YouTube and RV channels. And we just started watching as much YouTube as we could. Eventually got to the point where we were watching YouTube like every night to learn as much as we could. And I said, we either have to do this or we have to stop talking about it. I was just like, I can't just sit here and keep watching this stuff and not get an opportunity to actually try it. So we were both totally on board. And by January 2019, I think, is when we were like, okay, it's do or die. We're doing this.
Prior to me finding the video with the gentleman living in his van, neither of us had any idea that people were full-time RVing. We didn't really know that it was a thing. And we had always been interested in living smaller, having alternative housing ideas, maybe living in a tiny house or something at some point. We knew we could make that work out west, but we didn't really know how to make that move. And then we just started, like she said, watching more and more YouTube videos, and then just started doing research on different RV types. And then here we are.
That is so cool. So similar to us too. When we started, we did not know this was a thing. We actually saw an RV show that was like in a parking lot of some big business. And we were like, you know, we don't have anything to do. Let's just go see what this is. And we were, you know, kind of walking into these RVs, never been in an RV before. We were just looking for something to do. And it was like, what? Like, these are awesome. We had no clue you could do this. And then we started doing YouTube, and it was like, oh yeah, you go down that rabbit hole and it's like, oh my gosh. And then everybody thinks you're crazy and all that stuff. But yeah, but that's so cool. So when you guys were researching, because I know like for us, we had no clue like what a class A or class C or fifth wheel, you know, travel. We didn't even know any of those names and what that was. And so it's probably new to you guys. Like, what made you decide to get the RV that you did?
I would say it was just, again, it was just research. We watched every couple or individual that we could find on YouTube that had an RV and that was going through this life. And we just kept going back to the travel trailer that we wound up with after we had gone to numerous RV sales dealerships and just going through them, looking at their features, and then just decided on the Grand Design 312 BHTS, which just really fit really well for us. It's just been phenomenal. It's gotten us everywhere that we wanted to go.
That is wonderful. Did you guys do RV shows to see it, or did you just look on YouTube? Or when you went to RV dealers, did you actually see your floor plan in person before you ordered it or bought it?
We didn't go to any RV shows, but we actually were watching a family that was living in this one on YouTube and then went and saw it. We went a couple different times just to go sit in it and make sure that we really wanted that one.
Oh, so good. It's definitely different seeing it in person versus YouTube. There was a couple that we were loving on YouTube, and then we actually walked in and we're like, oh, this is not what we thought, and we're so glad we saw it in person before we ordered it or something. So yeah, definitely good to see them. And so this was your first RV. Are you still in that Grand Design?
I mean, I guess officially for when we've become full-time, it's our first RV. But as when our kids were really young, we had a pop-up camper, and we have a really long background in our family camping. Everything from tents to the pop-up and then back to tents and then now the RV.
Oh, you are so fortunate to grow up like that. Randy and I had no camping experience. Our families never camped. We never even knew anyone with an RV. So this was totally new to our families and our friends, and they literally thought we were crazy. And now that we love it so much and people are like, oh, this is kind of cool. And, you know, we've gotten other people interested in it. But we always talk about, oh, I wish we grew up like this. How many memories we could have made as a family. So that's so cool that you guys provided that for your kids. That's awesome.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Oh, good. So now that you are in your Grand Design and you've had it for a little while, I always love to find out, you know, you probably heard of the 80-20 rule. There's 80% of the stuff that you're going to, you know, love about it and 20% of the stuff that you don't. And so I always love to find out from people, like, what are things that you love? What are things that you don't love? And so let's talk about that if you don't mind. What are three things that you guys love about your RV that you were hoping that you would love and that you definitely would want in another RV if you would get a different one?
So I think the biggest thing about, and it's probably the major reason we chose the RV that we have, and one thing that we really love about Grand Design in general, is they have very good ground clearance. So we knew doing our research that we wanted to live as cheaply as possible, and we knew that that would involve a lot of boondocking, a lot of national forests, a lot of middle of the desert in Arizona, and that's just something that we love to do. We've gone to some amazing places, probably some places that I should have never pulled the RV. They wound up working out really well. We've scraped the bottom a couple of times in the corners, but never done any serious damage. But I think the most that I love about the RV that we have is just the ground clearance, the ability for us to get down the dirt roads and out into the middle of nowhere where nobody else is. And we have nothing but the trees and the animals as neighbors.
Yeah, I think then for both of us, we have opposing slides in the living room and dining area. So it makes it just feel really big. Also, I have an island with a nice big farmhouse sink in it. So I don't know. It's just nice and spacious in there. I can do most anything I want to do cooking wise in the kitchen. And we also have, that thing is just full of storage.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we sold almost everything we have. We have a little bit of stuff at my parents' house in storage, and we still have plenty of room to add more stuff in the RV. Yeah. I mean, it just has so much space to store stuff. So those are our three probably biggest.
And, you know, we went from a 2,000 square foot house to a 200 square foot RV. So that was one of the things that we kind of worried about, but there was no reason to worry because once we whittled everything down, we just had so much extra room. And again, we can still store a lot of stuff that we kind of left behind just because we didn't think we would have room for it or need of it.
Isn't it amazing how little you could actually live with and be so happy? I think that was like such a surprise to us.
Yes, absolutely. I think about it all the time. I don't want all of the stuff because I just felt like it weighed me down.
Right.
Absolutely. Randy and I, we don't have any children, and we had a 4-bedroom home living for the weekends. And, you know, you live for the weekends, but in reality, weekends are grocery shopping, paying the bills, cleaning, doing laundry, cutting the grass. You know, it's like you don't have any time for fun.
Right.
And we had, you know, all this stuff. And when we decided to do this, you know, had to get rid of everything, sold the house. We had, you know, several garage sales, like I'm sure you guys did too. And I just remember our sweet neighbors were kind of like, wow, for two people with no kids, you guys have a lot of stuff. And it was like embarrassing. There was stuff that we didn't even know we had, like with price tags on it. It's like, Oh, we're never again going to have all this excess. Yeah, such a terrible feeling to have so much, and such a good feeling to have just what you need. And we still feel like we have too much stuff, even just on our little RV. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I love that you're talking about how much storage you have, because that's a premium in the RV life. And so when you feel like you even have room to buy stuff, if you needed extra stuff you wanted to get, you have room for it. That's awesome. That's a really, really good feeling. And so now that you've been in your RV, are there things that you dislike that you kind of would like to change if you ever were going to get another RV, that you would look for something different?
Well, the one thing, this kind of might seem silly, but if we had known what we know now, we would have not, we bought our RV new, we would have not gotten the carpet on the slide. It's like one of the only places where there's carpet. We would have had them put the linoleum flooring that's in the rest of the RV on that too, because it's just with a dog and everything.
Yes.
I would recommend that to anybody. As long as that's, you know, some people want the carpet, but we just wouldn't, because it's just easier, especially when you're out boondocking in the desert and you're bringing in all of the dirt and everything. It's easier to clean without those little pieces of carpet in random places on the slides in the RV. Let's see, we don't like our dinette. We're actually planning to at least take half of the dinette out this summer and kind of revamp that to make it a little more comfortable. I mean, it is good storage, but we actually have a lot of stuff stored in our dinette booths that we don't even really need or that we haven't even used in the last 4 years. So, you know, it is good storage, but at the same time, if we're storing stuff we don't need, I don't know what the point is. And, oh, the other thing, and it's not that big of a deal, really. As soon as you walk in our door, the bathroom is right there. So it's not super private when you're just walking in the door and you could walk straight into the bathroom. It'd be great for people with kids who are coming in filthy and you just want to throw them in the shower or something. But I think those are really the only things that aren't our favorite about the RV.
That was one of the things that she, right away within a week of us moving into the RV, she said, this was a horrible design. I would have never put a bathroom right inside the main door. And it is something that, you know, I'm not sure where it could have been put, but it is kind of a bad spot in our opinion.
And that, to me, I'm glad you guys brought that up, because I always thought, like, when I see floor plans with the bathroom right by the door, that it's so great to be able to access it with the slides closed. Can you guys access it with the slides closed?
And that is true. I mean, yes, we can just walk right in the RV when we're traveling to use our bathroom, but
I thought people looked for that. Like, I actually thought people, you know, wanted to have the bathroom to be able to use it during travel. So good to know, though, because it's something to think about. A lot of times you aren't actually traveling and you're stationary, and then you have to still have the bathroom in that location. So yeah, something to think about. So I'm glad you guys brought that up. And so when you guys were looking at moving in and maybe got different plates or different accessories for your kitchen, or, you know, just all the RV stuff, I know for us, like I said, it was so new to us and we had no experience. We never even heard of Camping World. And so we were just so excited to walk through Camping World and, you know, scroll through Pinterest and check everybody's Instagram and YouTube and all that for different RV accessories and must-haves. And I still love it. After 6 years, I still love seeing all the different tips and accessories that people love to share. What are like three of your favorite RV accessories or must-haves that you guys would recommend to other people?
My biggest one is, and this is one of the first things that I bought after having those horrible white rubber hoses that just always kink. They never roll up easily. They're never easy to store. We bought the Zero-G flexible water hose, and I would never have another water hose. And every time I talk to someone about RVing, the first thing I tell them is to throw the ugly white water hose away and buy a Zero-G water hose, because they're just so much easier to use and store. They just fold up and go into a small little area. Anywhere you have space, you can cram it into, unlike the white water hose. I'd say a second one is, and probably most important to us because we use it all the time, is our Green Mountain Grill Davy Crockett pellet smoker. So it's a really small pellet smoker that we can easily store in the back of our truck as we're traveling down the road. And then when we get to wherever we are, I can hook it up either to the truck battery or the RV battery, or run it right off of solar with the RV battery. And that allows us to cook outside instead of like a regular grill that's burning charcoal briquettes. You know, we're using pellets, and we can smoke a brisket out in the middle of the desert in the middle of nowhere without electricity. And then our third thing is probably a water bladder that we use. We bought it off of Amazon. It's a collapsible water bladder, so it folds completely flat into like a 4x4 square, but it'll expand to hold 60 gallons of water. So we use that a lot when we're out boondocking, because we can fill our gray and black tanks twice while we're out boondocking, and then we can use that water bladder to fill our 40 plus gallon water tank that's inside of our RV. So that's probably one of our biggest items that we really like.
Oh, those are three great suggestions. And I'm going to put links to the items that you're talking about in the show notes so that people can actually go ahead and see those in order, because, oh my gosh, that smoker, that is something that we've actually been looking for. I can't wait to check it out because, yeah, that's something that we totally miss RVing, is being able to smoke. I can't wait to check it out. So you said it's a little one too, right?
Yeah, it's really small and it just sits in the back of my truck underneath my cover, and the smokestack folds down. It holds enough pellets. I can smoke a entire pork butt, you know, overnight, and it just keeps on chugging, and it'll be ready the next day. It's really easy to set the temperature. You just set the temperature and basically go to bed, and the meat will be cooking overnight.
Oh, that sounds so perfect. Can't wait to check that out. Thank you for sharing that. And then the water bladder too. That's actually something that is on our list. We need to get next time we go boondocking. And I'm glad you guys mentioned that. I love to hear suggestions from people who have already used it, because so many times that you just kind of do your own research, buy it, and then find out that it's not what you want. So love to actually get suggestions from other people. So those are great items. So now that you guys have been full time and doing this for a little while, what was easier than you thought about RV life? Because I know for us, we had all these apprehensions like, oh, this is going to be difficult and we're going to have to figure this out and all this. And it's really actually a lot easier than we thought. So what's like something that you can discuss that is a little bit easier than you thought about RV life?
Well, I mean, I think we feel the same. I mean, we literally spent at least a year watching YouTube almost every night, you know, not like for hours and hours, but, you know, we'll say like, well, let's watch an episode or two every night. And you just watch everybody else's mistakes and then you don't make those mistakes. You know, so it makes it a lot easier. I guess one thing that's easier than we thought, at least for us, is boondocking really is easy.
It is.
I mean,
easy.
We both love to boondock, so we knew we were going to love it anyway. But with our RV and our tank sizes and the water bladder, like he said, and those kind of things that we have because we watched other people do this on YouTube, we were just all set up and knew how it was going to work out and had plenty of time to make, you know, little mistakes, figure out what's going to work.
Right.
So that was just easier, I think.
And then boondocking has really been very easy because we use an app that you've probably heard of, Campendium. It's a great way to find campsites. And it helps me to do all of the research before we go to any of the sites that we're going to boondock at. You can see reviews of other guests that have stayed there. They put their pictures in there. And then you can get on the website. And then I do Google map views of the places where we're going. That way I have some idea of what we're going to see when we do get to our boondocking area. So I think it's really important. Research is really, really important when it comes to RVing.
And I think too, another thing that was easier than we thought was just our travel days in general. It hasn't been as stressful as we kind of thought it would be. We try to do like 2 to 5 hours when we have travel days and just try to remain relaxed, you know, and the less traffic or the less big cities, the easier it is too. So
yeah,
I think those are the things we found to be easiest.
So, and we both have our jobs, you know, when it comes to the RV on travel days. So she takes care of the inside, getting everything ready, all the doors closed to make sure everything is closed. When we're closing up the RV slides, that way we don't crush anything. And then I'm doing all the outside stuff, putting everything away, making sure that everything is stored the way it should be while we're traveling down the road. And so we both know now we pretty much can do everything, setting up and tearing down without even having to discuss it. We just know exactly what our job is and get right to it.
That's so smart to have your own set of jobs and you know, like you kind of have your checklist, whether it's mentally or actually physically on a piece of paper, what you have to get done. And then it makes it a lot easier to get on the road safely. I love that. I agree with boondocking. We had RV'd in our big rig. So we started out with a 40-foot fifth wheel and then transitioned to a small 20-foot travel trailer for that, you know, bucket list adventure. But in our big one, we had it for 4 years and we were deathly afraid of boondocking. We didn't know how to do it. We, you know, didn't research enough and we didn't think we had what we needed. And so we never did it. And then with this new one, the little one, we got solar and all this stuff. And we're like, oh my gosh, we totally could have done it in a bigger rig. Like we thought you had to have like this little teeny compact RV to Boondock. I don't know why we thought that, but here we're like, you know, the bottom of this beautiful mountain near the Great Sand Dunes. That was our first time. And there's like all these huge rigs. And we're like, oh, we totally could have done this. We totally missed out on 4 years of it. So I'm glad that you mentioned that because, yeah, there's a lot of people who are afraid of it. And it's such a great way to RV. And that is definitely our favorite thing. And we're so glad we tried it and realized that it's not that difficult. So now that we've talked about what's easier than we thought, is there anything, you know, more difficult than you thought it would be?
Honestly, we couldn't think of too many things that were difficult. Really, the only thing we could come up with is we've run into a couple of different locations where it's been a little bit hard to find a place to stay because there's not necessarily nearby boondocking. And we just don't like to spend a whole lot per night to stay places. So those places would be like Florida is really hard in the winter. We've only been there once in the winter. And we weren't up for paying like $100 to $150 a night. So we ended up at a hip camp and tried to do, we did Everglades, like National Park kind of stuff. But we didn't do a whole lot of expensive camping there. I know there's more. We just weren't throughout the state for that long. Another place is Colorado Springs, just because that's where our two older daughters have been most of the time that we've been on the road. So when we would be passing through, we were stopping there a lot. And Colorado Springs is just hard to find. For us, it seemed like it was hard.
Because we kind of wing it. We don't really make reservations out in advance because we never know where we're going to be. Because I can come to a stop sign and say, hey, we're turning right here, and then we're going to go camp down here somewhere. So we don't really make reservations very often. So that's why it's kind of a hard for us to get into some places, and especially Colorado Springs. There's so few RV parks in that area, and then there's just so many people that want to be there. That's why it's so hard in that area to find any place to stay.
I mean, there are a lot of places there. There's been one time we sat in a parking lot for like an hour because the RV place we were going to stay, the site ended up not being large enough for us. They didn't have anything else. So I get on the state park websites and just every day trying to get a cancellation, stuff like that. But it's, you know, it's partially our fault because we don't plan, but that's just the way we roll. So you make do.
Oh, yeah. We discovered that in Colorado Springs, and we totally lucked out with our little 20-foot travel trailer. You know, like I said, we did the 10 weeks in Colorado, and Colorado Springs, we ended up spending 5 days there. And again, we didn't really know where we wanted to go. We really wanted to boondock a lot. And so we ended up lucking out with a boondocker's welcome, but he had just a 25-foot space. So we fell in that, and he ended up having electric for us. So we ended up staying there for 5 days.
Wow.
For free, essentially. We totally lucked out. Now we're totally RV shopping every day, so we're not going to have this little one for very long. It's been fun for a little while, but we're kind of over the really small space. So we would love to go back there, but there's not too many rigs who could fit there. And he was such a great host, and he had a fenced in yard, and he was a dog lover. So he said, anytime you guys come through the fence and hang out in our backyard, and it was just such a great experience. And so we're like, we totally lucked out, or we wouldn't have been able to see Colorado Springs, and we had a great time there. So yeah, I totally know how you feel with that. So we kind of discussed, you know, where do you guys prefer to stay, talking about boondocking. Is that pretty much your favorite? If you could choose any type of staying, and like whether it's RV parks or state parks or Harvest Host, like what's your absolute favorite? Is it boondocking?
If we could boondock forever, I think we would be perfectly happy. Yes. But obviously we've had a huge mix of every type of stay. But I'd say next after boondocking would be state parks and Corps of Engineer parks, just because they're
generally inexpensive, and the sites are generally a lot bigger.
Yeah.
And we've had some really good luck with great parks, especially New Mexico. New Mexico has really amazing state parks and Corps of Engineer parks.
And I think with boondocking and state parks and Corps of Engineer parks, all those places can walk right out your door, and there's hiking and just general exploring and lots of space. They've got trails and everything. So you always have that kind of stuff right out your door. And that's what we like. We have stayed at some RV parks and resorts that have been quite amazing.
Very amazing. Yes.
So, you know, we'll stay at those too.
And we've stayed at Sugarloaf Key, KOA, and Key West, one of the best RV parks in the country, in our opinion. Just amazing, right on the water. And Buckhorn RV Resort in Kerrville, Texas is just a great place, which also has pickleball, which is, if you talk to us very often, you'll know that we love to play pickleball. And then Mountaindale outside of Colorado Springs is another one of our favorites.
Oh, that's so cool. I think when you stay at like different places, like RV parks versus boondocking, there's definitely pros and cons to everything. And you kind of appreciate where you're at. And then you appreciate the other one when you get there, like, you know, having the amenities at RV parks. I mean, that's so awesome, you know, to have full hookups and have the laundry and all that. But then you go boondocking, you don't have the hookups, but then you have like so much privacy and so much beauty. And so I think it's a really good thing to have the mix, and you kind of appreciate, you know, where you're at.
Absolutely. And it's great to get a recharge. You know, we'll go stay in the national forest for 14 days and then go stay at an RV park for a day and completely flush our tanks and refill our water, recharge ourselves, go take a nice long shower that we couldn't take while we were boondocking. So it's always good to recharge at an RV park or state park when you get done boondocking.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And now I am going to ask you the hardest question of all to answer. So hard to answer this when we get it too. And I think the answer keeps changing as you travel. I know you guys have been to a lot of places. Can you tell me what is your top five favorite locations?
This one is so hard. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we talked about this one a lot.
Yeah. Well, we absolutely love where we're at here in Ouray, Colorado. I mean, I think this is one of the premier spots. We both think it's one of the premier spots in Colorado. It's absolutely gorgeous. There's a lot to do. The town is amazing. This is the first time we've been in Colorado in the winter, and there's a lot to do, even in the winter. In the summer, I mean, I can't wait to get up in the mountains. So it's amazing here. Then probably the Florida Keys. We never knew we would love Florida so much. We went to Florida a lot over the years because that's just where Ohioans tend to end up for vacations and stuff. But the Keys, we had never spent time in. We spent 3 months there last winter and fell in love more than we imagined we would.
And we've never been beach or ocean people. We don't enjoy going to the beach, but the Florida Keys were completely different. Just so much to do down there, so much to see. And then 80 degrees every day in the winter is hard to beat.
Yeah.
The third is Lake Havasu, Arizona, which is just an amazing area if you've never been there. We were there in the winter, so it's another one of those areas that just stays warm through the winter.
A little cold-ish.
It was warmish. It was more warm than cold.
But beautiful desert.
Yeah.
And
pickleball.
And pickleball.
So if we're traveling, I use an app called Places to Play. And no matter where we're traveling to, we generally don't stop unless there's pickleball somewhere close, because I have to have my pickleball fix. Lake Havasu is just an amazing area. They've got amazing courts. And with that, there's hiking trails everywhere. There's just, you can go off and get into the national forest and hike, and you can go.
The state park there
is just really, really nice to stay in. I think we spent Christmas.
Thanksgiving
in that area. So it was really, really nice. And then Southern Arizona in general, Sierra Vista, Ajo, far south. I would just say, you know, instead of a particular place, it's just Southern Arizona itself. There's just so many places to boondock. Sarah's favorite plant is the saguaro cactus, so anytime she can go get her saguaro fix is a good time.
And then the last one would probably be, which we just went to California to the coast for the first time in our lives. It was the first time we'd ever seen the Pacific. And we went to the Santa Cruz area, Big Sur, between Big Sur and San Francisco. And we were absolutely blown away. We had no idea we would love the coast that much. So just so different than, you know, the other coasts in Florida and Texas and the East Coast and stuff. So yeah, those are our five.
Those are some really great locations. So, you know, we're from Northeast Ohio. We moved to Florida. We spent 15 years there before we started traveling. So you're right. Ohioans go to Florida for vacation.
Yes, they do.
Yep, then we stayed there. And so then my husband and I are physical therapist assistants. We started doing travel therapy. And our first contract leaving Daytona Beach, Florida, was to go to San Francisco, California. And we had not been west of Indiana. We'd only really been traveling, you know, just for vacations. When we lived in Ohio, we'd go to Florida. Then when we moved to Florida, we'd go to Ohio to visit family. And so when we headed west, and we did not know what to expect, and we also fell in love with the coast in California, Big Sur. I honestly still think we've been to so many wonderful places, but I think that's one of the best views I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It is just breathtaking.
It's amazing.
Yes, it is. So yeah, looking at your travels, it's like, oh my gosh, we've been there. And we did home health in San Francisco. So I got to see the Golden Gate Bridge almost daily for 3 months. And it was just like, this is the coolest thing. I've only seen it on TV or in a magazine. And it was just really cool to see it in person. So I'm so glad you guys got to see some of those things in Santa Cruz. And yeah, that's an awesome area. area. It is such a hard question to answer because as we were traveling too, everything was new to us. So we kept saying, you know, like with our Instagram or just to our friends, this is our new favorite place, you know, and then like the next thing, this is our new favorite place. And we didn't even realize we were saying that. I would say like, okay, this is my new favorite place. And then I think on the after the third time, people were saying, okay, what is your favorite place?
Like, right.
Wherever we are right now is our new favorite place. And it does keep changing because, you know, we've had like a top five and then it's like, well, now this is a new top five. And then maybe next year, you know, we'll have a new top five. And so that's the best part about traveling is you can love everything. And really, it's a good problem to have trouble answering that question because you've been to so many beautiful places. And so that is so cool. And then I think when we started traveling, because we didn't know anyone with an RV, and like I said, our family and friends thought we were crazy, and you only like hear what either stories on the news or, you know, movies or whatever. And so we had all these people like, oh, it's, you know, so unsafe to RV, and you hear about this. I guess it's like when you hear about like airplane crashes, like, you know, oh, it's so unsafe to fly. Well, there's billions and billions of flights that happen that are safely, and, you know, and it's like only the big things happen on the news. And so like your mind sticks with that. And so, gosh, if we just listened to that, nobody would fly either. And so we honestly, in our 6 years, have never been unsafe on the road or felt unsafe or had a scary experience. But I always like to ask people, have you guys ever had a scary experience? And what do you guys do to make sure you're safe on the road?
Well, traveling wise, I'd say we're just both very observant the whole time. You know, I try to be a second set of eyes if he's driving and he's a second set of eyes if I'm driving. We're pretty good about just going the speed limit and knowing that we don't have to rush anywhere. We've had some times where people have pulled out in front of us and we're just like, how do you not see us? You know, like just have to be really observant because even if you're, you know, a huge dually pickup truck with a 30-foot trailer on you, people just don't see you or they don't care. They just pull out. So we're just very careful, try to be calm and relaxed when we're traveling. Otherwise, we haven't had really any times that we've felt unsafe. Even boondocking, we've never had any of those bad experiences that some other people might have had or that we've seen on YouTube. It's been pretty safe. I think the only place that felt a little unsafe, which
we still didn't
feel unsafe. We were at an RV park down in Naco, Arizona. You can literally walk to the border of Mexico from the RV park. You know, it's like a half a mile or less.
Yeah.
But it was, when was that? January of 2022.
Yeah.
I mean, literally daily, all day, all night when we'd be driving back, you know, the border patrol was out and they were chasing people, you know, I mean, there were
illegals everywhere. They would literally run right across the road in front of you and there would be a border patrol agent right behind them on foot.
Yeah.
So we didn't feel unsafe. It was just
different.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just
not what we were used to being around. So
yeah. we don't have that in Ohio.
Yeah. We didn't feel unsafe, but it was just different.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we plan our routes very well when we're going through particular areas. We plan our times to travel through big cities. We've learned that when you're going through Dallas or Houston or one of those big cities, you don't want to be anywhere near there when rush hour is because other cars just don't care. They're going to try to come and pull right in front of you. So I think mostly just doing research and planning your routes is the easiest way to stay safe on the road while you're traveling.
We agree. That is for sure. And so I know, like with all your research, I'm sure you've discovered, you know, it's not if, but when something happens to the RV. And we were so nervous about this because that's what we kept hearing in all of our research, like, just count on it. It's going to happen. And we were so scared of that, like whether it's a tire blowout or a maintenance issue. And, you know, once we kind of had our first experience and then our second, it's like, okay, we're going to survive this. We're just so glad that it wasn't a worse situation. But I always like to find out, have you guys had any big issues on the road, like with your RV or a tire blowout? And if so, how did you handle it?
We've just had small little issues. Jeff always fixed everything in our house. So he fixes everything in the RV. He knows how to fix things. And if he doesn't, he pulls up a YouTube video. So he's taking care of any little things. We couldn't even really think of any large issues that we've had. Other than that, we had a tire go flat when we were driving outside of Big Bend. And we were not far from a tire place. So we were able to get that fixed quickly. And then another tire went flat while we were boondocking, and Ajo, Arizona, and he just fixed it right there while we were boondocking. Yeah. So nothing major with the RV, nothing major while driving or anything either.
And I would have to say that that was one of my worries of the RV life, just because we'd seen so many people have blowouts. I mean, even their trailer come disconnected from their vehicle and flip over, and RVs loaded incorrectly. So, you know, they fishtail and then they wind up flying off into the ditch. So those were things that you worry about. And, you know, we thought maybe an issue, more of an issue than we've had. But luckily, even along the road, we've never had ourselves a major issue. And I've never really seen anybody else have a major issue that we can think of.
Same thing here. Because if you would watch just YouTube, or it could be really scary. And you think, oh, maybe I shouldn't do it because I'm seeing all of this happen. And it's, yeah, we've been doing this 6 years. We haven't had anything really bad, and you guys too. So glad that fear didn't stop us from this, because gosh, look at all that we would have missed. And so you guys seem to get along really, really well. And I always like to find out, because I know with us, we had a 4-bedroom home. We sold it for a 40-foot fifth wheel, and that seemed so tiny, which is hilarious now because we're now in a 20-foot travel trailer. And when we would go back to the 40-foot fifth wheel during like RV shows and stuff, it's a mansion. It's like, oh my gosh, this is humongous. So, and everybody who comes to visit us in our little teeny RV, the first thing they say is, you guys must really like each other. That's exactly what they say. And we do. We really get along and we have no issues living in a small space. But I do think you need to have a good relationship before you start RVing. It's not going to get better RVing. Or maybe it gets a little bit better, but it's not going to fix any problems. But I just wanted to find out. Like, do you guys have any tips for, you know, getting along and living in a small space?
We had trouble with this one a little bit because we haven't had any issue. Well, okay. We've been together since we were 13 and 15 years old. Okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
At church youth group. And we got married young, and we've been married for 28 years. So we like each other.
Yeah.
We do. We just make sure we communicate and give each other space if we need it. I mean, I remember one night we were in Texas. I think Jeff and Evelyn, Evelyn's our daughter that's been with us, they're really on my nerves. So I just went and got in the truck and I just took a drive. I was like, peace out. I'll be back at some point. So, you know, you just find ways. That hasn't happened a lot, but you know, we all need our space here and there. But
right.
Well, I don't know. What do you
think? And that's the nice part about boondocking. You know, if you can go hiking together, and then if you just need some alone time to think to yourself or whatever, you can just go hiking off into
start
the desert
walking.
Or start walking.
Yep.
And you know, your RV is generally big enough that you can turn around and, you know, find your way right back. So doing that. And then, you know, another thing, we love so many similar things. We've always grown up camping. So that's, you know, we both love it. We've picked up pickleball along the road since we left Ohio. So we love to play pickleball together. That's one of our things that we like to do, to go, you know, get some exercise and blow off some steam.
Basically everything we're doing, we both like to do together, you know, with our separate
right.
little things that we, you know, Jeff doesn't like to bake cookies and I don't like to do archery. So we do those things separately.
That is very similar to Randy and I. We like a lot of things, like 99% is, you know, the same thing. And we're always like on the same page, you know, and then there's just that little like 1% that I might like something that he doesn't, and you just do it separately. And that's pretty much how you would live if you were in your sticks and bricks too, right? I mean, it's really not any different. And so I think it's a lot easier than people think, you know. It just cracks us up though. That's literally the first thing that people say when they walk into our RV. And they even said in our big one too, is like, wow, I don't think we could do. I don't think we could live this close to each other. And it's like, that's kind of sad. What do you think about it? You know?
Yeah.
So now that you guys have been doing this RV life and loving it, there's so many people that are still so interested in it. And I always want to ask, you know, what advice would you give to somebody who's considering doing this RV life?
Well, YouTube as much as you can. That's our biggest advice. That has been the most help. I mean, even the very first time we pulled our RV from the dealership to the state park where we stayed for about a month to move in, literally the first time opening up the slides, having watched a YouTube video helped us to not make a huge mistake with putting a slide into the power
yeah.
pedestal. You know, I was like, stop, everybody stop. We're going to make this mistake that so-and-so made on YouTube. You know, I think that's the biggest thing for us. What do you think?
I would agree. And I would find some families who have been RVing for a long time. You know, Keep Your Daydream is one of those couples that we've watched from just about the beginning. And go back, don't watch their current stuff. Go back and watch their very first video till their very last video. You're going to see everything that they did wrong and everything that you don't want to do. And I think they have been a big help. A couple of other families, Tiny Shiny Home.
Yeah, we were following Keep Your Daydream from the beginning too, of that first tire blowout. And that is where we started like thinking, oh my gosh, like this is going to happen. And how do we handle it? And they handled it with a camera, which I don't know if we could have done that. Because there's been so many times we're like, we should be videoing this, but we really can't right now. We're so stressed. They do it so well. And yeah, they have taught us so many things and helped us save a lot of money and time with their experience. Yeah, I love them too. And then we get asked two questions a lot. And one of them is, how do you get your mail? And so it's really not as hard as people think, but I want to ask you guys, how do you get your mail?
Well, we are still Ohio residents. We've used our parents' address and they just send us our mail as needed. We have talked about domiciling in, you know, one of the states that RVers typically domicile in, and we just never have. And we still might be changing that soon, but it's been one of those things we just haven't changed yet, even after 4 years.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. You know, we were Florida residents, you know, because we lived there for 15 years before we started traveling. And we just used my dad's address and just he would forward our mail after it add up for a little bit. He would send us pictures of anything that we thought, you know, he thought might be important. And I'd say, go ahead and open it or forward it to us, whatever. And it's so nice to know, too, like there's RV forwarding companies that make it really easy. I don't know if you've ever seen those, but there's an app on your phone that you can check and it's really cool. And then I just had another podcast guest tell me, and I didn't realize this, so I wanted to pass along to you if you guys knew. When you're traveling, you can have anything shipped to a local post office and they hold it for you for 30 days. Did you know that?
We have had quite a few things shipped to different post offices around the country.
Yeah, we've done it a lot in Arizona, different towns. Different post offices can be a little finicky, so it really depends on the post office. The best thing to do, if you are going to try that, definitely call the post office, talk to the postmaster, ask them what their policy is, because we have run into a couple of instances where they were just like, our post office is too busy, we get too much stuff, we can't do that for you, we can't guarantee you're going to get it. So, and then we just go to the next town and have it shipped there. So we found some workarounds for that.
Oh, good to know. Yeah, that is true. Just double check that, yeah, that post office is in agreement, and maybe just give them a heads up that a package is coming and that you'll be arriving soon. So yeah, definitely good advice there. And then the second question that we get asked a lot is, how do you make money on the road to be able to travel like this? So do you guys want to answer that for me?
Yeah, well, one of the main reasons we decided to go ahead and do this is because I've had a remote job for quite a few years. I homeschooled our kids and worked this job while I was staying home homeschooling them. So that was one of the reasons we left, is I knew I had an income from that way I could work anywhere. We're super thankful for that job.
And then along the road in different places, and due to our research prior to RVing, you know, I knew that there was always an opportunity for work camping, which prior to us finding everything on YouTube, we didn't even know work camping was a possibility. So we found out that work camping was a thing, and it's afforded us to a lot of different areas that we really wanted to be in for more significant amount of time. I've found everything from working on a ranch, you know, helping on a ranch in Texas, you know, and keeping an eye on a boat and RV storage in Texas, and they, you know, provide an RV spot for you to do that. And then, you know, it's kind of led to where we currently are in our adventure, working for KOA. So once you kind of start into the KOA system, you can travel from KOA to KOA and work there as a work camper. So in 2022, we pulled into this KOA in Ouray and expecting to work, and it had just taken over new ownership. We didn't know that it had happened on our way from Texas, and we got here. And they said, we're sorry, we don't need you. And that was kind of a letdown. We were here for a couple of days, and then we were talking to them, and they said, well, okay, we do need you. And that turned into, you know, me taking over kind of the maintenance department, and then last season being the assistant general manager, and to the adventure of actually being the general manager of this campground now. So now I'm the general manager of Ouray KOA, and this is just another part of our adventure. We didn't know all of the opportunities that would be available while we're traveling, but here we are.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
There's really not a better place to kind of be stuck in for a little while. And, you know, we definitely don't feel stuck here. But, you know, the opportunities when you start moving around just start to kind of seem to become endless. Like, you meet people and you end up in just weird situations where you had no idea that you'd end up working for KOA or, you know, none of this was planned. It's just so crazy how it all turns out.
Oh, that sounds like such a dream. I am so excited for you guys. You could not have landed in a better area. Every time, you know, I see pictures of it again, it's like the butterflies are in my stomach and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to go back there. It was just such a dream. Yes. And we were not there long enough. And the $1 million highway and just, you know, Telluride and Silverton and just the whole areas. Oh, I cannot wait to go back. And we have a Jeep and we love the Jeep trails. And we also have I know you guys have like a tent and we have a Jeep Gladiator. So we have a air mattress that fits in the back. And so then we have a truck tent. And so we love to leave the RV and go tent camping. And we did that there. And we just had the best time of our lives. We talk about it almost daily. Like, we cannot wait to go back. So, so excited for you guys. And that is exactly the best part about this RV life is you do not know where it's going to take you. You do not know where your next adventure is around the corner. And, you know, you guys didn't plan this and it just really, the doors opened for you and you have to walk through them. Like, wow, that's such a great opportunity.
Right.
Absolutely. And we didn't really know how to make it back to this area, but we spent our honeymoon 28 years ago in Durango, which is just south of here. So we always knew we wanted to be back in this area. We just didn't know how it would happen. And we definitely weren't expecting it to happen the way it did happen.
Oh, I am so, so thankful that you guys just kept going and doing what you do. And then this door opened and you could have left. Like, when they said, we don't need you, you could have just left. And you're like, oh, well, you know, we'll stick around a little bit and figure out where we're going to go. And you talk to them instead of being like upset with them, like, oh, they don't need us, so forget them. Like, no, you were talking and the door opened. Okay, we do need you. And just one thing led to the other. And look at you now. This is such a great opportunity. I love it. So are you guys going to be in an RV there or do you stay somewhere else while you're there? Like, what's kind of the plan if you guys want to share?
We went and traveled a little bit in California and came back in December. And now we're in an apartment for the GM here for the winter instead of skirting the RV. But we do plan to live out of the RV in the spring and summer just because we love being able to be outdoors and grilling and all that stuff. You can't really do that so much in the apartment that's here. So
yeah, and we, you know, we love the RV. We love living small. I mean, we love our rolling tiny house. And it's so much easier to be connected to the outdoors when you just have to step down two steps of your RV and you're outside. So we definitely love, and we still consider ourselves, even though we're stopped in one place for a little while, we still consider ourselves full-time RVers because that's the life that we love. And, you know, we never really thought when we took off from Ohio that we would, you know, be in a house or an apartment again, you know, for a little while because we love being in our RV.
Oh, I love that. I love that you guys still get to be in your RV and have this amazing life too. And nobody knows what the future holds, you know? We don't know what next year, next 10 years, next week sometimes brings. And that's the thing with RV life is you're open for adventure and to see what the next possibility is. And so you guys have really been given a great opportunity. I'm so glad for you guys. I wish you the absolute best with it. You're in such an amazing area. Oh, yeah. I think if somebody offered that to us while we were there, we were like, yeah, we would be jumping all over that. Because, yeah, we kept saying if we knew anyone in Colorado, we would be staying. Like, we just didn't know anyone, but it like stole our hearts right away. It still has our hearts and we cannot wait to go back. In fact, we talk about it all the time to our family that we have some family that is going to be visiting Colorado this summer. And we're like, we want to come with you and we want to see like what you think. And, you know, being from Ohio and seeing like the snow-capped mountains, it's life-changing, don't you think?
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
I mean, every single time we drive anywhere around here, like it's even, you know, this was our third season at this campground. Anytime we drive, we just look around and we've seen it almost every day, but we're just like, what is this that we get get to look at everything.
Yeah, it's just like we're in a movie. It's like a movie backdrop in every direction. Every time we look anywhere we're driving, we pull out, you know, of the campground onto the $1 million highway, and we're just blown away every single time.
First of all, I love that. I love that you're there and you get to see it in different seasons. I love that. We were only there in the summer. So I have to ask you, so did you drive the $1 million highway in the winter with snow?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So they do a really good job at keeping the roads plowed. Their semis, their UPS trucks, the post office, they're all still making the drive on the $1 million highway. They do close it occasionally. You know, if they get a foot of snow before they can get the trucks out there, they will close it. But we still do some traveling. We go out and, you know, since we've been here the winter, we bought snowshoes. We go out and snowshoe, you know, our first time really doing that. And we've gone to see the ice climbing in Ouray. So lots of things that we'd never been able to experience, of course, being in Ohio with the winters. So it's been a fun time. You know, we didn't know what to expect. We were kind of worried with the winter in an RV in Colorado, but it's been amazing.
I am so happy for you guys because we've been there and because we know what Ohio is and like the difference of what you're experiencing now. Oh, we're so, so excited for you guys and can't wait to continue to follow your journey and see how, you know, everything that you're sharing. And so I want you to tell the listeners, what's the best place for the listeners to follow you and continue to see where you're at and what you're doing?
Well, we are on Instagram and Facebook. And we have a very small YouTube that we've wanted to develop over the years and just haven't. But I really still want to do that. We have a lot of footage that we just haven't had time to deal with. But, you know, so, yep, those three.
Awesome. So I will put links in the show notes of all of, you know, where people can find you, the products that you mentioned and anything else you want to share. I'll also have a blog post on our website with the same links and also where people could listen to the podcast as well. But you guys have given us so much great information, great tips. Thank you so much for being here. This has been such a fun conversation. I cannot wait to continue to follow along on your adventures on Instagram and just can't wait to, you know, see what happens with your new experience now.
Thank you so much for having us. We really had fun with this. It's the first time we've done anything like this.
I agree. We really enjoy sharing our story, so this was a great way to do it.
I told you that conversation was so much fun. Isn't it so amazing how work camping brought Jeff and Sarah out to Ouray, Colorado, and it turned into Jeff becoming the general manager for the Ouray KOA? So awesome. Telluride is just right down the street from Ouray and is our new favorite place on earth since we visited in 2022. And Ouray is just as incredible. We can't wait to go visit Jeff and Sarah when we head that way again. They are definitely living the dream and do such a good job at sharing their adventures. So be sure to go follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Wake Up and Wander. And you'll find all the links to their social media, YouTube, and the products that they mentioned in our show notes, as well as on our website at roamandyourhome.com/wakeupandwander. Come back each week because I have so many fun interviews coming up. Next week, you'll hear my conversation with Chris and Gary from Big Dog RV. You won't want to miss these great conversations filled with so many awesome tips and travel information. I learned so much and I know you will too, so come back each week. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope to see you on the road. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe to our show and consider giving us a 5-star review. It's free and would mean the world to us and help us grow. If you know anyone who would also enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Roam in Your Home. Come back next week for another fun adventure. But until then, stay safe, and we hope to see you on the road.